positive online content. Call 1-800-432-9197 for free info. That's 1-800-432-9197. Hurry, this is a limited time offer. Take control of your online Google search results today by simply calling 1-800-432-9197.
Good morning and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. This is a live medical talk show, and you're invited to participate. Our telephone lines are now open. If you have any question or comment, please feel free to call now, 941-206-1580. That's 206-1580, or toll-free 888-441-1580. And now, here's your host, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone, today. And today in the studio, we have Jennifer. And Tom is working with us today.
I am trying to work with you. I have had the worst cold I've ever had in about probably 20, 30, 40 years.
Oh, really?
I never get sick. And Tuesday morning, I took a dive off the cliff.
Well, we appreciate that you're here to help
us. Well, thank you.
Because we know that Todd is doing a remote.
He's going out to Arcadia and play rodeo.
Okay. Well, we want to let everyone know that this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana, and the show is The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. And we want to send a big, warm thank you to Dr. Maniscalco, who was our guest last week. Jennifer, wasn't he fantastic?
He was incredible. Such a humanitarian. The things he talked about, helping the needy in the countries all around the world and developing and growing countries and talking about his nonprofit was just heartwarming.
It was. And his whole story, how it started, was great. And so if anybody wants to hear that program, it's on the website, right?
Yes, it is uploaded on Dr. Triana's website at TrianaPreventionCenter.com. There is new tabs along the top, so you can simply click on the radio program, and then you can listen to all the pre-recorded shows, last show being one of them. You can also now save it to your computer and share it with a friend if you would like.
That's wonderful. And we also, I thought Dr. Maniscalco spoke so well, being that he is a cardiologist, and he started one of the interventional cath labs in Tampa, and how he uses the Cleveland Heart Lab test, which we also do in our office and we send to Cleveland, how important it is not only to assess the risk that someone may have for vascular disease, but to assess also the treatment. Are we treating the patient accordingly?
Right, to their own genetic makeup.
Yes, I thought it was very, very good the way he said that. So I really encourage anyone to listen to his program, to him speaking on the program. And also, I'm very excited that on the 22nd, we have a very courageous woman who is going to speak about her story and her experience with breast cancer. Now, I'm not going to say the name, but I will say I'm very, very proud to say she is willing to come on the show, speak about her experiences, and everyone out there, please tune in on the 22nd. She's going to be fantastic. She's a local woman, and both Jennifer and I already spoke to her.
Yeah, she's very motivational. So if you're on the edge and haven't decided to do something, I think she'll be the one to help talk you into it, if nothing else.
She's very, yes, you should be getting your mammogram. So I really want everyone to tune into that program. So today we have a lot of interesting things to talk about. And we want to remind you, if you do have a question, you can call in to the local number, which is 206-1580 or toll-free 888-441-1580. 1580.
Yes. We'll stop what we're talking about to answer your question or make a comment on your comment. We're here to help, and we're here to tailor the program around your needs. And we don't know what those are unless you call and share those with us.
Yes, that's very, very important. So already we're in March, and we're going to kick off the program with what are we supposed to, you know, every month has something being aware of. What are we supposed to be aware of, Jennifer?
March is National Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. Something that isn't in the news as much as maybe October for breast cancer awareness, but it is something that could affect every man or woman in the U.S., not alone the rest of the world. So, what is colorectal cancer? Colorectal cancer is cancer that occurs in the colon or rectum. The colon is the large intestine or the large bowel, and the rectum is the passageway connecting the colon to the anus. So, that alone says that anyone can be affected. We all have those body parts.
That's right. And we had a program about that too, but go ahead.
60% of deaths from colorectal cancer could be avoided if everyone 50 years of age or older were screened regularly. And regularly being big, bold words. That 60% of deaths could be prevented if we got screened.
That's 60%. Can you imagine? That's amazing.
It affects both men and women, and it is the second leading cause of cancer deaths in the U.S. There are 140,000 cases diagnosed each year. And unfortunately, 50,000 people die from this type of cancer each year.
And I'm not 100% sure, but you know, a famous man just died, Hugo Chavez, and I had read that it may have been colon cancer. They're not saying for sure, but he was only 58 years old. So the point is, it affects everyone. Even the famous,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. Your risk increases with age, making it 90% of the cases in men and women are 50 years or older. Screening helps find precancerous polyps, and if they find cancer early, treatment for this type of cancer often leads to a cure. So what are your symptoms of colorectal cancer? This type of cancer, like most, does not always cause symptoms, especially at first.
Right.
This is why regular screening is important. But if you do have symptoms, they may include blood in or on the stool. You would notice that during a bowel movement. Stomach pain, aches, or cramps that do not go away. Or if you're losing weight and you don't know why. Now, those symptoms could be from numerous things. So it is always important to talk to your doctor if you do notice any of these symptoms.
Also, it's important to note, is there what we call a change in bowel habit? And I know that's, most people don't want to talk about it, but it is important. If the stool changes, the caliber, the shape of the stool, that when you have a bowel movement changes, you need to contact your doctor. Also, Jennifer is going to talk about this screening, but many times on a exam for patients, when I do their rectal exam, we detect with this fecal occult blood test that the test is positive, and that will encourage the patient to get screened. Many times the patient says, I don't want to do it. I don't want to go through that, but I want, Jennifer, tell us the rest of it.
Okay, so when should we start to get screened? Typically, screening for colorectal cancer begins soon after your 50th birthday. Then you're to keep your follow-up screening based on the doctor's recommendation. We should be screened regularly until we're 75, according to the U.S. Prevention Task Force. Obviously, if you're still 75 and you feel you still want to be screened, or your doctor still feels that it is a priority for your health care, then by all means, 75 is not the cutoff and you no longer need to be aware of these symptoms or screenings that are available to you.
Remember what we're trying to do here with this program. Jennifer, how many times have we said, if we could just impact one patient, one person, if they just listen, they said, you know what? I heard this on the program that I should be getting screened. You know, people are always rush, 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 and they forget about taking care of their own health. Well, if this can be a little light bulb in your head, if this will be a little
tickler,
and say, wow, I'm 50 years old. I've got to remember to do this. Or how many times have we said, know your family history? So what was the other things?
If you are at high risk, you may be directed to have earlier screening. Some risk factors that put you at high risk. Number one is a personal or family history of colorectal polyps or cancer. Inflammatory bowel disease or genetic syndromes also put you at high risk. So again, coming to the doctor prepared for your new patient or just a routine follow-up, when we say to you on your intake exam, has anything changed with your history or your family history? That should be a reminder to say, yes, you know what? I don't know what was the outcome, but my mother just had a colonoscopy and she had to go for some follow-up, or they removed a polyp at that time. Anything, as minimal as it might sound to you, or it might not sound important to you at all, that she just had a routine colonoscopy, we want to know that.
The more information we have about each patient, the better care we can give them. So anyone out there right now, if your mother, your father, your sister, your brothers, your great-grandparents, your parents, grandparents, find out what problems they had. What was their health history? It is so important.
And if 6 months from now you have forgotten about this radio program, that's where regular routine follow-ups come into play. And 6 months from now, you might be turning 50. So when you come into the Triana Prevention Center, one thing that we do at every visit is look at your age and your gender, and we say, these are the tests that you're due for. Have you had a mammogram? If your answer is no, we're then going to get you set up with the appropriate doctor to schedule your colonoscopy or the right facility to have a mammogram if you're a woman. Stuff like that. So you might not remember the statistics of this program. The statistics prove that there is a problem in the U.S. and that it is affecting both men and women. That's where you rely on your provider to remind you of your routine follow-ups necessary, like a colonoscopy, based on your age or your family history.
How many people drive a car? You know, there's a commercial. I thought that's really good. And I can't take credit for it, but there's a commercial and the lady goes, if you take care of your car takes care of you. Well, my goodness, if we take care of our health, our bodies, don't you think our bodies will do good for us too?
Yes, because again, we want more good years. Our loved ones want us to be around and we want our loved ones to be around. So 60% of deaths from this type of cancer can be avoided.
That is a big, big, big number.
And colorectal cancer, luckily, if you catch the disease early enough, oftentimes it leads to a cure.
That's great.
So, what are some of the screening tests your doctor might send you for to check for colorectal cancer? Some of these tests are used alone. Some of them are used in combination. Again, this is all based on your doctor's recommendation. So by all means, schedule your appointment so that you can address what tests you need to have done and where you can have these tests done. But the U.S. Prevention Service Task Force recommends that we have a colonoscopy every 10 years, mm-hmm. unless, again, your doctor said, you had a polyp, I want to see you back in 2 years, or we need to see you back in 5 years, then you need to follow your doctor's recommendations. You also can do a fecal occult blood. This is a test that you do at home. You return it right to the lab. And then, like Dr. Triana said, if you come to our office for your yearly male or female exam, she's also going to check to make sure there's blood, no blood. And
after we do a rectal exam, right. We always test to see if there's any blood.
Some people get a sigmoidoscopy. And then you should also, again, get your yearly rectal exam.
And the occult blood, remember, is that word occult means you can't see it. So someone says, oh, I've never seen blood when I use the bathroom or I wipe. But if you have a test, it's a chemical test, and it reacts and it shows positive that there is blood, then we need to investigate further.
Yes. And take it serious if they say follow up. You know, don't brush it off like, well, I've never seen any, so I can put it off for a little bit. We hope that it's something simple like a hemorrhoid. But, right. But again, if this is something we can prevent, then by all means, we don't want to see you have to go through cancer treatment or to have part of your colon removed. The follow-up care for that, again, affects you just like having a heart attack. Affects right. you, affects your economy, affects your workplace, affects your family.
Yeah, Dr. Maniscalco was saying in these people that they put one pacemaker in, one person, and that already changes the family dynamics, the work dynamics, the future for that person of having relationships, having a family themselves if they're young. So this is important too. The whole thing of prevention is we're trying here to educate and remind people what we can do.
Yes. Again, 90% of cases for both men and women are people 50 years and older, and a colonoscopy is not as scary as it sounds. Maybe Dr. Triana can help us with this test, because countless times somebody will say, I'm not going for a colonoscopy. It's horrible. The prep is horrible. It's not, you know, something that I'm looking forward to. I'll do it next year. I'll get to it on my next birthday.
Well, it is a little inconvenience, and because you have to have a clean out in order for the doctor, which is usually either a gastroenterologist or a surgeon who's going to do that colonoscopy, where they use a fiber optic tube and they look inside your colon. So there are procedures coming down the pike, which we are going to mention, like the virtual colonoscopy.
Yes, and some DNA testing.
And DNA testing, which hasn't yet been totally approved. However, excuse me, it in some countries they are using it. The virtual colonoscopy, and in some states, it is approved to use.
And the inconvenience of the clean out the day before the procedure, you know, somebody will go have gynecological surgery and they have to have the clean out, and you never think twice about it. You have to have a hysterectomy. Guess what? They're going to make you prep for that the day before. And, you know, it's just part of it. The GYN says you need it. You go pick up the stuff at the pharmacy and you just do it because you know that's something that has to be done. Same thing with a colonoscopy. The next day you get to come home and you return to your normal diet.
Right. It's an outpatient procedure. It's done. I know
they do the biopsy right at the time of the procedure if they do find something.
You're there. It takes a few minutes, and you usually have to have somebody drive you home because they give you something Twilight to help you. So the point is, everyone out there, think about the fact what your age is. We have a caller. Thank you. Caller?
If there's a history of colon cancer in the family, how often should you have be checked out?
Okay. It usually depends on the age of the person. If the family member, usually it's what age the person was diagnosed with colon cancer. And again, you have to speak to your physician. But it's usually 10 years before that time that you need to start screening. So it's very important. Yes?
Every year, every 3 years, every 4 years?
No, again, you speak to your physician and you will see, for example, if you have a family member that got diagnosed with colon cancer at the age of 60, by all means, at least 10 years before, you need to be screened. Depending on the findings, that physician, if they found any precancerous polyps, they will tell you how often they want you to come back.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, caller, for calling. I appreciate that. So that's very, very important. We want to make you aware of what you need to do.
Right. And this is speaking to everyone. Again, it's based on starting screening at 50. But if you have a family history or history of something yourself that relates to this, yeah, then you need to be seeing your physician so that you can start getting screened even earlier.
We have another caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you're a wonderful program. We listen to you every Friday. I got a question.
Yes.
We have a script or something to go to the to have a colonoscopy, but the problem I want to ask you about, my wife's in a wheelchair and she can't walk, and it's very hard. She can stand up, but she, all of a sudden, bingo, she'll be on the floor. Do they have and then how? I remember I had one. I'm 79, so I've had a few of them. When they give you that medicine, you have to stick close to the bathroom.
Yes, you're right.
Then, we have a Hoyle lift that I move her around, and you know, to set on the toilet. But I was just trying to think, all those obstacles, is kind of hard for us to do it.
It is going to be hard. There are obstacles. I think this is what you would need to do is first meet with the gastroenterologist or surgeon, the physician who performs a colonoscopy, and speak with them and let them know what your issues are and what the difficulty is. At the very, very least, and I'm not saying not to do a colonoscopy, but at least you should be doing yearly checks for fecal occult blood. But I think the best thing would be is to speak with the doctor who does the procedure and let them know what your issues are. And thank you, caller, for calling. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I have one other question quick. Where do I get that test?
That test, the fecal occult blood test, your family doctor can order that test.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And yeah, thank you.
And I also want to tell you that the colonoscopy, as I said before, is done by a gastroenterologist or a surgeon. And I want to thank you for calling. And we're going to have a little tiny break here. And
okay,
talking.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Call again.
We're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte. Feel free to follow up on today's show by visiting their website, TrianaPreventionCenter.com, all one word, and spelled T-R-I-A-N-A. Also, we'd like to remind you that this is a live medical talk show. You're invited to participate. Our phone lines are open. Call now at 941-206-1580 or toll free 888-441. 1580. And now, here is your host, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Thank you, and thank you very much. By the way, Tom, you have a nice voice.
When it's working. It's certainly not working today, I'm sorry.
No, you do. You have a really nice voice.
Well, thank you.
We really appreciate your help.
Well, I appreciate listening to you. You're very interesting. Both you and Jennifer are very... You've enlightened me on a few items that I didn't... realize that we're going on, you know? So that's the main thing.
The second half of the show,
yeah.
Tom,
yeah.
We hope you feel the same. And we're also going to keep the phone lines open because if we have time at the end, we want people to call in because we are going to have a fridge makeover.
Oh, boy.
Ooh,
so
what's that?
We invite the callers to call in and give us at least one healthy item that they have in their fridge.
Oh, okay.
Not the not healthy item, the healthy item.
Well, if you have an unhealthy item, we can also help you replace that with a healthy alternative.
Right, right.
What about some of the stuff in the Tupperware that's been there for about 2 months and you open it up and the little things jump out
you
at you?
You just need to throw the whole thing away.
Okay. The container and all, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I think that needs to be in the garbage. but I have to tell you, I will tell you on a personal note, I have a farm. I live on a farm, and I have chickens. And I'll tell you, chickens will eat anything.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can not waste it.
Yeah,
you mean.
I recycle old lettuce. They love that. They love old vegetables. And I have barn cats, and they love anything that's old chicken or, you know, I mean, they enjoy it. Nothing that's looks horrible, but
oh yeah, that's green and fuzzy. You mean
yeah, nothing that's green and fuzzy. Anyways, and we've had two callers. That's been very nice. I hope this answers everybody's questions. So we were talking about the colorectal cancer, and I think we went through the whole thing.
Yes,
right?
Yes. So probably the take-home note for that is that again, it affects both men and women. 90% of the cases are diagnosed in people 50 and older. So when you turn 50, you need to mark it on your calendar for that year to consult your physician about a colonoscopy. And then also you need to keep up with the follow-ups that were recommended because 60% of the cases can be prevented.
That is a huge number. Here we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Yes, hello?
Me?
Yes, we can.
Hello?
We can hear you, caller. Can you hear us?
I can hear you now.
Okay, what's your question?
I tried to call last week. I hate to get off topic because your topic is very interesting, but I went on a diet, and my concern is they showed me the calories for a diet, and then they showed the calories for fat, and then on the labels they have cholesterol, and they never say what is the limit on cholesterol, and then also you have good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. How do you segregate the two, and how do you put them in your diet, and how does that cholesterol work trying to do a numbers game on what you're supposed to be eating and taking in? I will let go and listen for your answer on the radio. Thank you.
Well, thank you, caller. And that is, well, actually, next week we're going to have a big back to basics about the LDL, the HDL, and the good cholesterol. But basically, if you have high cholesterol, you should be under 300 milligrams a day of cholesterol in your diet. And that would be an egg has 240 milligrams, and that's in the yolk, not in the white part of the egg. So that's important to know. And we will discuss further at length the LDL, which I also call the lousy cholesterol. The HDL is the healthy, and those are important because the HDL is the one that picks up cholesterol from the lining of your artery and takes it back to your liver to get rid of. So basically, in your diet, you should be looking at less than 300 milligrams of cholesterol. Now, in terms of fat, we will explain because there are good fats and bad fats, and that's very important. And we know that fat also has the highest calorie content. So if you're losing weight, that's great. Always try, and what we were going to talk about, making your refrigerator, try to always incorporate less fat, more greens.
Yes. And this is where knowing your numbers also comes into your question or the answer to your question. You might have really good blood sugar and they tell you to watch your cholesterol. So you start eating more breads and pasta to stay away from the fat, meat, and the eggs. Then your blood sugar starts to creep up. So again, it's important to know all of your numbers, the fasting blood sugar, your LDL, your HDL,
right,
your waist size, your weight. And then from that, you have to start building your daily diet.
It's very individualized. You know, again, what we have said over and over again, we at the Triana Prevention Center, we do not practice cookie cutter medicine. You cannot cookie cutter. Every person is unique. Every human has a different family history. And we individualize our care and our plan. Every time I see a patient, I say, do you have a question? And I say, this is going to be our action plan to deal with each issue. So we individualize. And like we were talking about, like making your pantry healthy or your refrigerator makeover.
At the Triana Prevention, too, we also might hand you a handout that says, you know, an 1,800 calorie diet to only give you suggestions on meals you could be eating. So you also have to take that into consideration. It's hard to make a printout for every single patient, but it's the notes you take away from your exam and the numbers you take away from your results that's going to help you have a healthy diet.
And we've spoken about the good fats, like the omega-3 is a good fat, like in salmon, walnuts, olive oil. And we talked about the monounsaturated. And I'm going to next week go back to basics and just break it down and make it really simple. Actually, I mean, we'll be both together next week talking about that. So thank you for your call. And I hope that answers it. It's interesting and it's complex, but it's so important. Everything here we feel is important. Both Jennifer and I do a lot of research, preparation, and in getting also our speakers on board.
And the girls back at the office, Susan, Pat, they really put a lot of insight into the program to help us find things that the listeners will listen to. And again, please use the options that are available to you to submit a topic or an issue or a concern, because we want to help each and every one of you.
We have another caller. Hello, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was talking to different people, and you're talking about an egg having 240 calories, and you especially made the yolk. And people are telling me that you aren't mentioning that the whites counteract some of that, don't it?
No, the white is a protein, has the protein. It doesn't counteract the cholesterol in the egg yolk. What happens is a lot of people, what they will do, if they're cutting back on their cholesterol, they will either get egg beaters that has more egg whites, or they'll just use the egg white and eliminate the yolk. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, caller.
Or there was this great invention called egg beaters, which takes all of the work out of it for you.
Does that take the yolk out of the egg, essentially?
Right, there's no cholesterol in an egg beater.
Really?
Yes. You can get whites, or there are the yellow, but there's still no cholesterol.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Right.
I know I go to Subway once in a while for breakfast, and they have these square...
The egg white.
Is it egg white?
Probably an egg beater, because how else would they get it there?
Well, yeah.
I don't know, but...
Right.
Right.
So that's egg beaters.
And,
all right. And no cholesterol, really, right?
Right. And the back of the package even breaks down how much egg beater you need to equal one egg. So if you're baking, because everyone forgets that they're getting the cholesterol from... the egg, right?
Yep.
Right? In their cake batter, in the bread batter, all of that. It even says, you know, like a half a cup an egg beater equals one egg.
Okay.
But the research has come out, too, that it's okay, you know, to eat an egg or a couple of eggs a week, the thing is this, is that people, as Jennifer's just saying, are forgetting that there's cholesterol in meat, in breads if they put eggs in it, in cakes, in what about the frosting on the cake? You know, they put eggs, they put sugar. You know, nothing tastes better than sugar with, people put it with butter, and that's a saturated fat. So we have to remember everything we put in our mouth, and that's why we're trying to educate everybody. People forget, and also people do not realize, when I ask patients many times, well, what are you eating if their sugar is high? And they don't realize, oh, a potato is a carbohydrate. It turns into sugar. Fruit turns into sugar. Rice turns into sugar. Beans have protein and carbohydrates. That carbohydrate turns into sugar. So people will say, I don't ever eat sugar.
Well, so the old adage that an apple a day keeps the doctor away, that doesn't play out in this instance.
Again, it's moderation.
Well,
moderation.
One apple.
Yeah.
Not a whole apple pie, obviously.
Right. And a serving size, even for an apple, is one small apple. So you have to read into the serving size. Again, going back to food labels and just pantry refrigerator makeover, you have to flip the stuff over. And obviously fresh fruit and vegetables, it's hard to do that because it isn't listed on the apple.
Yeah.
But that's where the education comes into it.
A serving size of pasta. Ooh. Most people feel it's a bowl, a huge bowl. It's half a cup.
Really?
Oh, and you might as well.
Just not have it.
Yeah.
No, I'm just.
And then that's where education again comes in.
Yeah.
We educate our patients to eat on a smaller plate. Or when you go out to eat, ask for half of your food to be put in the to-go plate package before they even bring it out to you.
That's a good idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
And no, for example, a lot of people say, well, I eat my vegetables. Well, how do you eat your vegetables? If they're poured with 10 pounds of butter, you know, the best way is you steam your vegetables. Right. And boy, and you know, you get used to it. It tastes really, really good. And maybe just spritz it with a little bit of olive oil. You know, they have these little, you can spray, you can buy these little pumps and you put your olive oil in it and you go squirt, 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 and you spray. We're not saying, look,
we all struggle with it, by all means. Let's just throw that out there.
We're all humans here. Every one of us, we struggle with it. We think about it. We worry about it. Believe me, my culture, my family culture, they originally came from Cuba. Food is love and love is food. So I understand everybody out there who's struggling.
And luckily for us, and we encourage everyone listening to find a support group. And by support group, I mean surround yourself with people who are going to help you, loved ones, friends, so that if you are out together, you help each other make a healthy meal selection. We're always brainstorming in the office what we're going to have for dinner to make it a little healthier, even, you know?
What we can do, or if we have a lunch, we do something healthy like a rotisserie chicken and a salad and a little bit, and know what you're eating. And so anyways, there's so many wonderful things to talk about.
Well, we've had a number of calls today, and the telephone number is 206-1580, 206-1580. Or if you're calling out of the calling area, it's 1-888-441-1580, and that's for the Dr. Triana Show. We've had three or four calls. That's interesting. Very good. People are listening.
Yes, we want people to listen. And we've also, you can web stream it on your computer.
Right. You can actually go to the radio station's website and play it right through your computer, which is WCCFAM.com.
Right.
You can also do it on an iHeart Radio app.
On your smartphone?
Yes.
That's right.
You can also go to the Triana Prevention Center website, which is TrianaPreventionCenter.com. Listen to the pre-recorded shows. And then while you're there, submit a question or a topic, and that will come right to Dr. Triana so that she can present your information on an upcoming show.
That's very good. Thank you so much. Now, Jennifer, you were going to talk about, we had a few little what's trending in the news.
Yes.
One of them was about that cigarette.
Yes. And we did do a past show on this, but we just wanted to bring it up again because they are still saying that the e-cigarette safety, the implications are still unknown. So they're not saying that it is a healthy alternative to replace your cigarettes with an e-cigarette. Yes, there are less chemicals. They have determined that, but there still are chemicals in the e-cigarettes which are harmful to our health. So when you're thinking about quitting, please come see your provider. Come see Dr. Triana. We are there to help with smoking cessation, whether it's to hold your hand or to help you with medication or to help you with counseling on how to successfully quit smoking. There is help.
There is help. And we also encourage, how about buddy up? You know, a lot of times the wife will say, you know, I want to quit, but my husband smokes. Or the husband will say, the husband smokes and the wife. So vice versa. Or the person that they live with. Why not buddy up? Say, look, let's make this a smoke-free home. Why don't we both quit? Let's work together for our health, because there's nothing better than having a buddy or a partner or someone you can say, oh my gosh, I'm getting weak, you know.
And there's nothing worse for a healthcare provider to hear is, I just had cancer and I haven't quit smoking, or I just had a heart attack and I just can't quit smoking.
Or what about these people you see with these oxygen things, you know, looped around their ears, going into their nose?
Yes.
And they'll turn the thing off and go smoke a cigarette.
Yeah.
Now, why does he have the oxygen to begin with? It's something that affected his lungs, right? Obviously.
Yes.
And I bet it's cigarettes.
The problem is this, is that cigarettes are highly addicting. And so a person gets addicted because it works on your brain. Mm-hmm. It works on a chemical called dopamine, which makes you feel good. And it's very hard for people to quit, even after they've had years of damage to their lungs from the cigarette smoking. And, you know, I empathize. We're all humans here. We're all here. No one is perfect. But at the same time, I have seen patients do that. Well, they will continue to smoke. And it's like everything in life. There's no one person that can make you do anything. That feeling that I'm going to do it, I'm going to quit, has to come from inside. And whether maybe their inspiration comes from, if they're religious, from God or spiritual, or saving a family member, whatever your inspiration is, try to do the best you can to quit and eliminate that poison, because that's what cigarettes are.
And it's important to know it's not too late. Don't come and think, I've been smoking for 20 years, what's the point now of quitting? The damage is already done. The good news is you can work towards healing the damage that you've already created.
It's so important. Don't ever, ever, ever give up. Just one step towards doing less cigarettes, cutting back, and quitting. Don't ever give up. That's what I tell my patients.
Yes.
You have to remind yourself, what is it? You have to remember, it. Don't give up.
So what we're saying is, you need a bigger calendar. One to put your reminder to have your colonoscopy. One to set your quit date, because part of it is being ready to quit. No one person can say, that's it. I mean, yes, there is cold turkey. But what I'm saying, I guess, is that, you know, you're going to be more successful if you're ready to do it. You can't be forced
right
to do it. So we want you to fill up your calendar with a quit date, with a success story, we want you to call and say, it's been 3 weeks since I had a cigarette. And yes, you're going to miss it every day, but maybe find something else to fill up your time. If you usually go out on the back porch after work and have a cigarette, maybe pick up a crossword puzzle or, you know, a new hobby or call a friend to keep your mind busy. Anything to help in any way, please call us. We'll give you an idea. We'll give you what's worked before. We'll help you think of a new idea. We right. want more good years. Dr. Triana wants to make the difference in just one person's life. So if that's with a listener calling to say, I have been trying to quit for 10 years, what am I doing wrong? It might be simply talking and finding the one thing that clicks in your brain that helps. If you smoke 10 cigarettes a day, only allow yourself 9 cigarettes tomorrow.
And my heart goes out to the caller who called about his wife is in a wheelchair. And because I know it poses difficulties in life when you're disabled and you're in a wheelchair, but it is doable. There's something that can be done for her to be able to get checked for colon cancer. So my point is, don't give up. Don't give up. That's it. Don't give up.
Yeah. Don't take no for an answer either.
Right.
If one person says, oh, we can't help you, then by all means, go to the next step.
Right. And the other thing we want to emphasize, and we've said this before, know your numbers. How many people come in and they say, we asked them, what was your blood sugar? They don't know what their number is. What was your blood pressure? Well, they said it was good, right. But what was your number? Right? If I ask somebody right now, how much gas is in your car? Would you say half a tank, a whole tank, a quarter of a tank? That's a number. You got to look at that number and you got to pay attention to that number. When you drive down the road and you know, oh my goodness, I'm going too fast and the speed limit is 55 and you're going 65, that's a number. And that's an important number. So why aren't we remembering our numbers of what our blood pressure is, what our weight is? Usually people remember that. Sometimes they don't. What is our blood sugar? Right, Jennifer?
Right. And the good thing for you is at the Triana Prevention Center, we won't hand out a ticket if your number is too high, but we will be the first ones to hand out a gold star if you have really committed to a healthy lifestyle and bringing your numbers down to a safe level.
And we actually give out a certificate, and it's really nice when someone has achieved their goal with a star, because I feel that every one of us likes to be accepted and loved and patted on the back. Why not?
Yes.
So if we give them a star and people feel good about that, I feel good when I get a star. You know, don't you think so, Tom?
Absolutely.
So,
and if I came to your prevention center, I would probably have a whole wall full of stars.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I've never smoked a cigarette in my life, but I do like my cigars, and I know I'm going to get frowns from
yeah.
you. But we all have our vices, don't we?
And everyone does in life.
That's just one of them. It's just one of them. And I'm doing okay.
But the thing is this, we need to know what the consequences are. All right. Everyone says, oh, people have vices. It isn't just about that. It's understanding what are we doing? How can we make it better? Every day we can make it better.
Oh, yeah.
Every day. And every little deed that we do to make someone healthier is a blessing.
Or more empowered or even more educated.
It's so important. So I guess we haven't had anybody call about the refrigerator.
Does that mean nobody has anything good in the refrigerator?
If
that's the case, we have homework. Next week, you are to have replaced eye level on your refrigerator, anything that is not good for us, with fresh, fresh vegetables or fruit or a healthy lean meat. We want that to be moved up to the shelf that you look at when you open the door. Replace a candy bar with an apple. We want you to be able to call us next week and say, I made my refrigerator over.
Oh, boy. I'm going to do that, too. I know right now what's in my refrigerator, but basically I decided I was going to eat more salmon. So now I'm eating more fresh and smoked salmon. So trying to incorporate more healthier fishes and seafood into my diet. And it's really working out.
I know in my refrigerator, I have a lot of turkey and chicken breasts with nothing on it. Because like most of everybody, if the bad thing is in there, we're going to eat that. But if we only have a chicken breast that's been grilled, not smothered, covered, and, you know, with barbecue sauce and cheese and garlic, well, then what are we going to go for? But if the option isn't there, you're then going to be forced to eat healthy.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think we just have a few more minutes, don't we? Three more minutes. And boy, we didn't get to go over all the different things we were going to talk about, but we have so much that we wanted to talk about, the basics of blood pressure. And
so definitely next week we will work on back to the basics so that people like the caller with the cholesterol question can have a better understanding of a good fat and a bad fat.
Right. And I did answer that question, but we're going to go into more detail. We were a little broad today about that. Also, we want everyone to remember that the growing epidemic of diabetes, know what your blood sugar is. Know what your fasting blood sugar is. Know what a random blood sugar is, means a blood sugar done at any time of the day, and 2 hours after a meal. There's so much we can do, because remember, when you get diagnosed with diabetes, you've had problems with insulin resistance, meaning that your insulin has not been working well for the last 10 to 15 years. You know, when I tell people that, they just look at me like, oh my goodness. They don't realize a lot. And everyone will say, well, gee, I feel good. You might feel good, but we need to know your numbers.
Right. We can't judge a book by its cover.
Right. We can't. And
You might feel good. You might run 3 miles a day. But if your fasting blood sugar is 200.
Then you have diabetes. So that's really, really important to know. And we know that also if your fasting blood sugar is 126 WCCF twice, you've got diabetes. So I guess we're ending the program.
That showed up, and it shouldn't have showed up.
Okay. We want to thank everyone. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Tom. And remember, this is the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. And this is a live talk radio program that we are here for you.
Yes, we welcome your participation.
And we will see you next Friday. And make a list of questions. Stay healthy.
WCCF Punta Gorda.
News Radio 1580.
Charlotte County's only news talk radio station, serving you around the clock.